Good evening.
I want to look at chapter 2 tonight of Haggai. I had, before today, was looking at, for this evening, Psalm 42. I do have some notes here, but as I was home this afternoon, I thought, well, it's only two chapters. Let's get through these chapters. So look at chapter 2 of Haggai. Just like to read the 23 verses and then we'll share what the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you. Haggai chapter 2, verse 1. In the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, O ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenant with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. In the 4 20th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, If anyone bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? The priest answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press fat for to draw of 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail in all the labors of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now, from this day and upward, from the 4 20th day of the ninth month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine, and the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree, had not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 4 20th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that rode in them, and the horses and the riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts." The Lord will bless the reading of his precious word. in the books of Ezra, Haggai, and Zechariah, we see what difficulties the leaders of the people had to meet and how much they needed the help of the prophets. And God used the prophets to speak his word back in Old Testament days. At last, matters were brought to an issue by the failure of the crops, which gave the prophets additional arguments. When God's judgments are brought in the earth, men learn righteousness. The eye of God is on those whose hearts are perfect towards him. And we'll read some verses in a minute or so. It is very well to imitate these elders in giving an answer in meekness and fear, but not terrified by our adversaries. If God has clearly set us to do work for him, let us go through with it in spite of all human opposition. Storms are the methods by which he reveals our weakness and his all-sufficiency. The walls of the spiritual temple are built in troublous times, but the work goeth fast on. The rulers of this world cannot understand and gnash with their teeth. God's plan shall stand, though earth be in arms to resist it. I think that's something we are seeing today. The opposition to the word of God is fierce. When we read and hear of missionaries serving the Lord, and if you get the missions magazine put out by MSC and CMML, you know the struggles that many of them have. It can be a personal issue, for example, health. Reading of a brother, that the email that comes out Wednesday nights from MSC, who had to have surgery. He came through it. He's doing okay in that. And then we have, especially when children are involved and the children have to go, for example, back to the States or elsewhere, England or elsewhere, to further their education. These separation times can be painful. But again, the work goeth fast on because they have made a commitment to serve the Lord. And they know that different things are going to happen in their lives. I mentioned this morning that a brother in Cornwall had a heart attack. Joan was talking to his wife this afternoon, and apparently he had been complaining about chest pains, and she had wanted him to go to the hospital, but like a lot of typical men, he said, no, it's, you know, just something. I will get better. But it turned out to be worse. When he did could go to the hospital in Cornwall, within a short period of time, he was sent by ambulance to Ottawa. They found two blockages. They've operated. He has two stents in. And so it could have been much worse. We need to listen to our heart. We need to listen to what the Lord is trying to teach us and show us. This morning you mentioned that the people were so centered and fixated on having their homes and their material possessions so that they were neglecting the house of the Lord. It's something that God wanted them to do. Solomon had built a beautiful temple, but it was destroyed. And years later, God wanted it rebuilt. He knew that it would not be as glorious as Solomon's temple, but he wanted the commitment from the people to build. Foundation was laid, and yet, as mentioned this morning, because of the their materialistic ways, God had to chasten them and bring them to the point where they finally said, yes, I will be obedient to the Lord. And in Ezra chapter 5, verses 1 to 5, and I've just picked up some verses from that. So it's a paraphrase. Then the prophets Haggai and Zechariah prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel. Then rose up Zerubbabel and Joshua began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of God helping them. Portion of verse 3, some came and asked them, who hath commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? Then said we unto them after this manner, what are the names of the men that make this building? Verse 5, but the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not cause them to cease, till the matter came to Darius, and then they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. The same thing about the eyes of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And then Psalm 33, verses 18 to 19, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Then if we look in the New Testament, and it's encouragement for the believers in Christ, 1 Peter 3, 12 to 17 says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of the terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, with the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. The people in Haggai's day, they suffered because they did not want to be obedient to the Lord. As mentioned this morning, they had problems, even though they sowed well and they did different things. They didn't have enough to feed themselves, and the vineyards that they grew, and for clothing and things like this, there was never enough, because the Lord wanted them to be obedient to him. And so even as with us, if he wants us to do something for him, he will draw us to himself. But if we are resistant, he will often put up those trials, he will port those trials, so that we come to the point where we bow the knee and say, Lord, I give up. I submit to you. Use me. We talked about the Lord of hosts this morning, and reading through this chapter, mentioned several times, in total 14 times. And mentioned this morning that it's a strong tower which God has made available for those times when we fail and are powerless, when our resources are inadequate, when there is no other help. It indicates his majesty and glory as the Lord of the hosts of heaven and earth. It signifies his sovereignty, and thus he demands complete obedience. So when we look at the first three verses, it deals with the despondency of the people. They were discouraged. And yet the Lord was speaking to Haggai, and he spoke to Zerubbabel and to Joshua. And he reminded them, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And as we read this morning, there were older men who had seen the previous temple. And even as we read this morning where people were singing and joyful, they were weeping because they realized that the temple that they were building now had very little in comparison to the beauty that Solomon had built. And so he says to them, "Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing to them?" It was very little in comparison to what they had seen before. And yet, God is going to promise to them. He could make a promise to them. He is going to encourage them. So we have in verses 4 or 5 the promise of Jehovah. "Yet now be strong," he says. So he says that to Zerubbabel, says to Joshua, "Be strong." And then he also says, "Be strong, all you people of the land." He also adds, "And work." He encourages them to be strong. He encourages us to be strong as well. Be strong in the Lord. But he also says, "And work." He wants us to be diligent for him. Because he adds this, "For I am with you, saith the Lord. I am with you." And he refers back to, in verse 5, "According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you." We remember that God had covenanted with the people that he would bring them out of oppression in Egypt. It was a real battle, in the sense that Pharaoh would not let the children of Israel go. And God had to deal with them to the point where finally, when children's lives were babies' lives were at stake, that he relented and he let them go. So he says, "According to the word that I covenant with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you." He is encouraging. And he says finally, not only "for I am with you," but he also says, "Do not fear. Do not fear." Then we have in verses 6 to 9, the glory of the future temple. And as I mentioned this morning, this verse is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26 to 27. And I'll read the verse from the New Testament, which says, "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." So we have in these verses 6 to 9, again, the Lord of hosts, and he wants to his majesty and glory to be to come forth to for the people to rest in what he is able to say, knowing that he indeed is with them and that they need not fear. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, once more I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to thee, the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory." When he says in the Old Testament, they shall come to the desire of all nations, in the New Testament, when it's written, it's referring to our Lord, the desire of all nations. And he says, "I will fill this temple with glory," says the Lord of hosts. In verse 8 he says, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine." When the Solomon's temple was built, there was much gold, there was silver. For example, Ezra chapter 6 verse 5 says, And also let the golden and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, and brought unto Babylon, be restored, and brought again unto the temple which is at Jerusalem, every one to his place, and place them in the house of God. Silver is mine, the gold is mine. Then verse 9 says, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, and in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. We have peace in our hearts tonight because of what the Lord has done in us. When we acknowledge that we were sinners, acknowledge that we needed a Savior, acknowledge that without Him, we will be going into a Christless eternity. He gives us this, and in this place I will give peace. And we have the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in our lives. Not only a message of exhortation and encouragement in these first nine verses, but also a message of blight and blessing. And verses 10 to 13, the teaching of the law. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil or any food, will it become holy? They answered, no. Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? The priest answered, it shall be unclean. So we have the teaching of the law. But then we have the application to the nation in verses 14 to 17. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, and so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. In the first chapter, and this morning we read again and just mentioned of verses where the people were so taken up with their, or doing their own things, that they neglected the building of the temple that God had required for them. And now carefully consider from this day forward, from before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw 50 baths from the press, there were but 20. I struck you with blight and mildew and hail in all the labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. He encouraged them and wanted them to be obedient to him and to follow him. And yet there was that reluctance for them to do so. In verses 18 to 19, it's a promised blessing. And again, as I mentioned this morning about consider your ways, and now he says in verse 18, consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. The foundation of the temple was laid. All it required of the people, and he had mentioned to them about going up to the mountain, getting wood, and getting the materials needed to complete the temple. The foundation was laid. Consider it. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit. But notice what he tells them and encourages them, the promised blessing. But from this day, I will bless you. The Lord, he is one who is patient, one who is loving, one who, because of what he did on Calvary's cross for us, we read in Scripture where he rose, he's seated at the Father's right hand, He intercedes for us, even as the Holy Spirit does. He encourages us. When we sin, we can confess it. He is our advocate. Here he says to them, "But from this day I will bless you." Then we have in 21:22 his omnipotence, a message of vision and victory. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, "Speak to Zerubbabel, I will shake heaven and earth." Again, as mentioned in the previous verse, "I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and the riders shall come down, everyone, by the sword of his brother." Many think that the prince of this world has complete control, and yet we know that the Lord is the ultimate one who is going to rule, and we can take confidence and we can trust the Lord that day by day he's going to be with us. And then lastly, we have the faithfulness of God. Verse 23, "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, and will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts." And here, Zerubbabel is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. God would overthrow and destroy this world, Gentile kingdoms, and set up Christ's millennial kingdom. The signet ring indicates that divine authority to rule is committed to the Messiah, to our Lord Savior. Someone else commented on this verse. "The fifth message to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, came on the same day as the fourth." He returned to the theme of verses Haggai 2:6-9 and the millennial reign of the Messiah. Once again, it depicted the overthrow of the kingdoms of the world and the establishment of the messianic kingdom. As the events predicted did not transpire historically, the promise pertains to the royal line through whom the Messiah would come. It looked to the ultimate day when Messiah reigns on earth. Daniel 2, verse 44 says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Verse 27 of Daniel 7, 27 says, "And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." The last comment before reading these two verses was, "It looked to the ultimate day when Messiah reigns on earth." Just like to look at Psalm chapter 2 and read it. "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." Verse 12, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye priests from the way, and ye perish from the way, which his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And if you want scriptures to look at in the New Testament, just read at your leisure Revelation chapter 19 and 20. We're going to sing a hymn called number 368, Not What Our God and Father, We Are Thankful, that it's Christ's blood alone that can cleanse us from all sin. We are thankful, Lord Jesus, that God laid on you the iniquity of us all. You paid it all. And there was a point on that cross when you cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was because of the one standing here, the ones who are seated here tonight, Lord, everyone in the world, family, loved ones, children, you died for them. And Father, help us to be servants of yours, willing to go, willing to live for you, and willing to be used of you. And so we are thankful for your word once again. And we can say we love you because we know you first loved us. Be with us as we travel to our homes. We commit the week to you and ask that you would indeed guide our steps as we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.